All right, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to our Mashiach Matters class. And we are holding in Chumash. Hold on, let me open up the Chumash. At the conclusion of the purchase of the Ma'aretz HaMachpela and finding out how all of that was so pivotal in the process of Mashiach. Okay, so we're holding. Last week we discussed the significance of Ma'aretz HaMachpela. Fascinating shiur last week about the importance, the greatness of Ma'aretz HaMachpela, and how that purchase. Hold on 1 second. I have to do one more thing over here. And last week we were learning how pivotal it was the purchase of Ma'aretz HaMachpela for the ultimate geula. Because first of all, begashmias, this was the first purchase of land that belongs to a Jew in Eretz Yisrael. So we began taking possession of the land, which is what the coming of Mashiach involves, that the Jewish people will have the full Eretz Yisrael. Eretz b'shlemusa, we will have the land, shlemusa aretz, as the Rebbe referred to it all the time. We would have a completion, the whole Eretz Yisrael. But the beginning, the first piece of land taken was when Avraham Avinu bought that land. But as we also learned in the depth of what was really going on over here is that buying and purchasing that land is taking it out from the klipa. And particularly it began with Ma'aretz HaMachpela. Why is the first piece of land Ma'aretz HaMachpela? Because the whole idea of taking possession of the land and making it Jewish land is related to the elevation of all the sparks of holiness, the whole tikkun that we need to do in the world. And the tikkun that we need to do in the world is to raise up that which has fallen by Shviras HaKelim, by the shattering of the vessels. And what fell in the shattering of the vessels? The name of 52, Shem Ban, the name of 52 of the Eibishter, that's what collapsed. And that's the source of all the Nitzutzei Kedush. I mean, it was a Shviras HaKelim and Olam HaTayu, in the world of Tayu. But, and over there, it's the name of 63. We discussed it last week. But then, once it fell down, and it came down, it became Shem Ban, the name of 52. And the name of 52 we spoke last week is Hei Kfelas, the double Hei. Why? Because only in the name of 52 do you have the Heis of Shem Avaya, of the Yud Kei Vav Kei doubled. Hey, hey. In the other names, it's not hey, hey. It's hey Aleph or hey, hey Yud. But in this name, it's hey, hey. So it's called hey Kfela, ha Machpela. Hey. Last week we spoke, it's an upstairs and a downstairs. It's a front and a back. Unbelievable things. But this is the whole idea of Ma'aretz HaMachpela. That's the root. And when we can elevate the root of the Shviras HaKelim, Shem Ban, if we can rectify Shem Ban and elevate it and bring it back to its Shoresh, the rest was all details. The rest of the conquest of the world is only details. So Ma'aretz HaMachpela, the first Jew in the end of his life kind of acquires after the land, is Mamish, this idea of Mamish Bias HaMashiach. Unbelievable. And we also learned that that's the reason why it's all related to Tchias HaMesim, because this inyan, this avoida of lifting up the Shem Ban that has fallen, by the way, is mamish the inyan of Tchias HaMesim. Because the sparks of holiness are called mes, they're called dead. It says by this week in the end of the parasha, Parshas Vayishlach. By the way, the concept of this, the discussion we're going to have today in Parshas Chayei, in this class that we have today, is mamish deeply connected to Parshas Vayishlach, the whole theme of Parshas Vayishlach. Because the whole theme of Parshas Vayishlach is the confrontation of Toyu and Tikkun. Because Yaakov Avinu, he is the source of the man of Olam HaTikkun, and he's a descendant of Avram Avinu, but he's the completion of Avram, and his job is to complete the elevation of the world of Tayu, which is Esav. So you see how this, and we're going to see there's a certain corresponding, because he does it with 400 coins, and Esav is also coming with the number of 400 men. There's a lot of inyanim that work together. But all the way in the end of the parasha, Parshas Vayishlach, it talks about a shattering, a falling down. Vayimlech vayamas, vayimlech vayamas, vayimlech vayamas. That a bunch of people The kings of Esav, they were kings and they died. They kinged and they died. So it says that that's the collapsing of the world of Tayu is called the death. Comes out that Tchias HaMesim is going to come when we rectify a spark and we reconnect it. That's called Machaya Mesim. We're doing Tchias HaMesim. Every time you eat an apple, you're doing Tchias HaMesim. Every time you eat, you use any physical object in this world and you're using it letzairech for the need of being a Jew and connecting to Hashem, you're elevating a spark and thereby doing Tchias HaMesim. When we conclude all the work of lifting the spark, so b'derech memela, the mesim are all going to come alive because we have done the Tchias HaMesim throughout our avodah that we've done Tchias HaMesim. So therefore, the purchase of Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, which is the first time on physical earth, where, and as we spoke earlier, it represents the whole idea of the hay kfela, the double hay, is now being back elevated to its source. So being that that's the case, this is the shayrish, this is the root of the whole idea of Tchias HaMesim. That's why Taka brings over here from a sefer, I don't know who that is, the Yad David. I have a chashash that the Yad David, it might be the Chida, but I'm not sure. He brings that it says the reason why there was so much put into buying Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, he says because it says in the Medrash that Tchias HaMesim is going to begin from Ma'aretz HaMachpelah. The first ones to get up Tchias HaMesim are going to be the Yavis. That's interesting. Because this is affecting this Tchias HaMesim, this elevation of that which had died, which are all the sparks of holiness. Now, I'm going to read quickly. What I really want to get to is I would like to discuss the concept of Ephron. And who is Ephron? Why is this purchase happening from Ephron? We did have somewhat of a discussion about Ephron a few weeks, like 3 weeks ago, when we spoke about Ephron being, from one perspective, being the Malach who is in charge over the Beis HaKvaris, over the cemetery, Duma, he's in charge over all those. And that Avram Avinu is speaking with Ephron with such respect is because he wants him to allow Sarah Imenu to be part of the club in the Tchias HaMesim club. Because only Tzadikim, and Sarah is the Guf, and Avram is the Neshama. We had that whole interesting discussion. So I'd like to first read to you a continuation to that from another part of the Zohar, which we had discussed 2 or 3 weeks ago. So this is the conclusion of that idea that we learned earlier. This is in Tosefta, Parshas Chayesara. So it says, Rabbi Yossi ber Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, azal lamechmei l'Rab Chia, went to see Rab Chia. When you go to see Rab Chia, you know you're gonna hear something good. Amar leis, he said to him, leim amar, yishama hai parshasa, eich amru maramas nisa, let the master say, I imagine that it was Rabbi Yossi saying to Rab Chia, can you please tell me, master, if you heard, how this parsha was taught, Mare Masnita, the masters of the Mishnah, the Peshu bin Yana de Nishmasa, that the masters of the Mishnah, the ones who knew all the secrets, so those, how did they explain this parsha that we're learning about over here, that Avram Avinu was giving the coins to Ephron, and as a result of that, he's purchasing the field, how did they learn it, those who knew that this parsha is talking about the Neshama? The Neshama and the Guf. Omar, he said, Zakochul kain de tzadikaya ba'alma da'asa. So Reb Chiya answered him, and he said, how fortunate is it, the chelek, the portion, the lot of tzadikim in the future world, the kachud eraisa beliban, because the Torah is in their heart, kemabua rabba demaya, like a big spring of water. The afagav demastimin lay, even though it is closed, miskiyas maya, because, you know, a spring is in deep in the earth, and it's covered with earth. But nevertheless, when there's so much water, it comes protruding outward, masgias maya, from the intensity of the water, psichin mabuin, the springs break open, the navin l'chal iver, pour the water to all directions. So l'chayri, he means the idea that the biggest secrets come out, that the tzaddikim, they even though these are hidden things, they're revealed. Amalai said to him, Toshma, come in here, Rabbi Yossi Rechimaat. Rabbi Yossi, I love you so much. This is what Rabbi Chiya says to him. Rabbi Yossi, my dear, dear friend. Rabbi Yossi, who I love so much. Come in here. Ano em alach bei parshas. I will tell you something about this parsha. La'olam ein gufa adam nichnas b'cheshben atzadikim. The body of a person cannot be counted amongst the cheshben in the list of the tzadikim. Al yad Duma. Duma's in charge. Remember, we learned about him. Duma is the malach. And he's in charge, who's also referred to as Ephron, because he's connected, and he's in charge with those that live on the earth. Those are buried in the earth. So a person does not go into the cheshbon of the tzaddikim By Duma, Achatira Hanishama Pinkis, Simana Shanoisanai Akruvin Began Eden. Till the Nishama up there has to see in the special book, the Pinkas. Pinkas is a pad. In that little booklet, in that little pad, Simana Asimin, that the Kruvim in Gan Eden, the Neshama is in Gan Eden. So the Malachim, the Kruvim, the cherubs who are in Gan Eden, have to show the Neshama up there Asimin, and that's a sign to the Neshama that the body of this person is included amongst the tzaddikim. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Chiya, Anoshamana, I heard, the Donishmasa Basa the Island Taman, that this Neshama, after she goes in over there to Gan Eden, he azlas the salkala asra la'ela. She goes up to a high place, v'loyla michas latata, not to go down. Avokoidim shetala v'tikanes, but before she goes up, nasis apetrapis aguf al yedei g'duma. Duma takes over the body. Umara loy sharo l'kabuschar arameyis oylamais. Rabbi Yossi is saying like this, I heard that the neshama, after she enters there, maybe that means after the passing, I'm not exactly sure. She's going up to a high place, not to come down. I mean, she's rising. But she wants to make sure before she goes up, that Duma, who's in charge over the body, should show the neshama that everything is taken care of, that the body's going to be in good hands. And it's interesting. So Reb Chiya seems to be saying that the sign has to come from the Malachim in Gan Eden, who are showing the neshama about what's happening, that the guf is in good hands down here. Reb Yossi is saying, I heard that before the neshama rises up, she needs to get like kind of a, she needs to, she goes in, nasis apetruapis aguf al yidei Duma, that Duma is put in charge, and he shows to the neshama, sharou lekabos char arameis oilamos. No, Amar Aloy, I guess the neshama shows to him, to Duma, that she is fitting to receive the reward of the 400 worlds. So again, I'm not sure in this. As I told you, I'm always scared of Zoyar because you can read it and think you understand, but you really don't understand. Because especially when you see how the Alter Rebbe and others who knew Zoyar, when they explain it, then you realize that, you know, there's something very deep being said of it. I don't know. I'm just vaguely reading this to you. Our Reb Chiya says, HaRebbe Lazar Amar Daha Duma Yada Koidim. Ah, so Reb Chiya answers to him. Rebbe Lazar said that Duma knows because Meshum Demachrazi Allah Begun Sidi Eden. Now, the reason why Duma knows is because they announce it in Gan Eden above. Avala no kach shamana. But I heard so. The Be'idnu the Yahavan Le Pinkasa, at the time that they give him the pad, Choyzeres ala guf, the neshama returns back to the body, to bring him into the pad of tzadikim ayde duma. I guess this is the argument. Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying that initially the neshama doesn't go up. Once the neshama goes up, it's not going to return until tchias ames. So it's not, unless it's being sent down as a gilgal again, but once the neshama is entering Gan Eden, it's not here to return. So therefore, he said, before it goes up, it already goes to have this, it tells Duma and it shows Duma that this body should be put in the right place because the 400 worlds, the 400, see, there's an idea of 400 worlds of longing, which is the reward of tzaddikim. We're still going to speak about that a little later in today's class. What's the idea about the 400 worlds? But that is, so according to Rabbi Yossi, it seems like the neshama takes care of business down here before it goes up. Rabbi Chiya is saying that no, the reason why Duma knows because Duma hears the announcement above, but the neshama has to come back down after they show the neshama up there, after the Kruvim show the Pinkas, the sign. So then it returns back down here to Duma to tell Duma to make sure to put him into the Pinkas, to put him into that pad, Ayadei Duma. And that's what it says. Achem atali shma'eni. The neshama comes back and speaks to Ephraim, which is Duma, and he says, if you are with me, listen to me. Nasati kesef asada kach mimeni. I have given the money, which means I have the 400. I have access to these 400 worlds of kisufim, of pleasure. And therefore, take it from me. Take my body and make sure that this body is going to be there. Ma'o kesef asada. What does it mean? The money of the field. Dohu kisufa da arba meis alma. This is the pleasure, the longing. of the 400 worlds, the Yahavan Leilachsana, that they give the neshama for its ultimate inheritance. Rabbi Yossi Kadav Hashama, I'm just learning a little bit more of the Zohar. Rabbi Yossi, when he heard this parsha, Mimorei and the Mesifta from the Bali Yeshiva, from those, would say, Man di iu Afra mai kozachalahai, who is the one, whoever is earth, who is Zohar to this? Man yiske, man yinkam hada, who's going to get up? Mi ya'ala bahar Hashem, who will go up? Amar Rab Abba says, Tachazi, come and see. What does it say? Vayishma Avram el Ephraim, that Avram listened to Ephraim. Vayishkal Avram le Ephraim es hakesef, that Avram gave Ephraim the silver, the money. Dahu ksuf rapsa de'inen almen d'chsif. And this is the great longing of these 400 worlds of longing. Arba meyas shekel kesef, 400, arba meyas oilamois, 400 worlds, vahanois and pleasures, the kesufim and longings. And the last words are over here, oiver lasoicher. Oiver lasoicher, that simply means it can be given over its money that was acceptable by every merchant, was very fine coins. Rav Nachman Omer, Rav Nachman says, sheyavir kol sharei shamayim, v'Yerushalayim shalmaila v'ein moiche b'yaday, is that the oivel asaycher means that the neshama now or is able to pass through all the gates of heaven and Yerushalayim of above, and no one can stop it. Seeming to see she has access to every gate to go higher and higher in these 400 worlds. That's what I think it means. Reminds me of a very special story that I saw today, that the holy Rameir of Premishlan sent notice to the holy Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin. Rameir Premishlan sent to the Ruzhiner like this. He said to him, I sent him a message. He said, my dear friend, this is in Tav Kuf Yud, so that would be in, give me a minute, in 1850, Rameir Premishlana sent a message to the Ruzhiner, and he said like this, you should know that our passports are already stamped. We have been given a visa, and there's nobody that's going to block us anymore from our journeys. We can pass through all the borders. All the borders will let us through. That's what he said. And on you, Holy Ruzhiner, on you, I know there are thousands of neshamas that are waiting for you. But for me, Meirel, there are thousands of more neshamas that are waiting for me. And then he said to him, but you should know that my expiration date expires before yours. My passport expiration expires before yours. And what he meant was that a time has come for both of us to pass away from the world. And Rameir Premishlan Taka passed away a few months before the Ruzhiner. And that's what he meant, that my expiration dates, I better get going already. And you still have a little bit more time, but I'm heading out. But this fits what we're saying over here, that all the gates, oiver lasoicher, you know, they're not going to stop him by any border. There is Nebuchadnezzar, Tzadikim going up higher and higher, meaning into the higher worlds. But Tochazi, what does it say? After that, Avram buried Sarah, his wife. That means Sarah is referring to the body, which means now the body can be counted with all the rest of the tzaddikim. Bepiska, in that little pad, the memuna al yaday the Duma, which Duma is in charge over. Amar Reb Yitzchak, with this we're concluding. Reb Yitzchak says, Hacha Gamirna, this is what we learned. Kol inin dechsiven bidoy de Duma, anybody that's written in the hands of Duma, mamonin al yaday, and he's in charge of them, Yekimun lezimna de zamen la'ach yaday ra'afra, will get up at the time when the dead will get up. Vailain, woe to those l'rashia, to the wicked ones, the loiksiven al yaday bepuska, that are not written in this petek. Shayoivdu begehenem la'almen, they'll be lost in Gehenem forever. And that's what it says in the pasuk, be'esahu yemolet amcha kolanimtsa kasa b'sefer. At that time, your people will be saved, anybody that's written in the Sefer. So what's the Sefer? Referring to this Duma booklet. Okay. So what you have over here is a dialogue between the Neshama and Ephron. Ephron is in charge. So you see, Baruch Kapanim, that this is all talking about Tchias HaMesim, this whole thing, to allow the guf to be, which fits very well in what we're learning over here, that this whole thing is involving the tikkun related to Tchias HaMesim. So, to understand a little better the idea of Ephron, and why Avraham Avinu has to deal with Ephron. So again, in the Pirush of the Zohar, Ephron is the guy in charge over the ministering angel in charge over the dead. Fine. But there is another Pirush over here. Ephron is the one who's holding Ma'aris HaMachpelah. So if Ephron is holding Ma'aris HaMachpelah before Avram take it, that means Ephron is a klipa. Ephron is a dark element. What is Ma'aris HaMachpelah? Ma'aris HaMachpelah is the Nitzutzei Kedusha that have fallen down from Olam HaToyu. In general, it represents the entire world of Hekfela, the double He, which is the name Shem Ban, which has collapsed, which needs to be rectified. So why is it Dafka Ephron is in charge of holding it? So we need to know what Ephron is. So Ephron is rooted, first of all, Ephron is Gematria 400. That's number one. So there's an element over here where Avram is paying him 400 coins. Ephron himself is Gematria 400. Fine. Number two we need to know is that Ephron, the root of the word Ephron is Ophar. Now is Ophar holy or Ophar is not holy? So of course everything in the world can be interpreted Zelo Umazel, one opposite the other. So there is holy Ophar and there is unholy Ophar. Ephron is unholy Ophar. He's earth of the unholy kind. And because he's the Ophar of the unholy, he is dominating over the holy Ophar. There is an expression in Chumash, Parshas Nasai, Ophar Asheyia Bekarka HaMishkan. The Ophar, that's where you take to test the Sota, to test the woman if she sinned, they mix water and they mix a little bit Ophar, earth. And it says, Ophar Asheyia Bekarka HaMishkan, the holy Ophar that is in the earth, in the Karkam. So it is holy Ophar. In Kabbalah, it is explained that Ophar is the low, that Sfiras HaMalchus, the attribute of Malchus, is called It's called Eretz, earth. It's called Afar as well. Why? Because there are four elements. There's fire, wind, water, and earth. And we know that the fire, wind, water, and earth correspond to the four worlds, and they also correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. And we know that to the high, fire is the Yud, and so on and so forth. The water, I think, is the Vav flows down. And finally, the Afar, that's the latter Hey, that's Malchus. So Malchus is Ophar. What's the quality of Malchus? The quality of Malchus is Bittel. What's the whole avoid? When we serve Hashem in a way of Malchus, it means that we're serving Hashem with Kabbalah soil. Simple, because that's what we always know. That the lower Hay of Hashem's name means the acceptance of the yoke of Torah and mitzvahs. Not that you're serving God because you understand, because you're excited, because you're emotionally stimulated. No. Simple Bittel. But we know that the Bittel nullification and surrender to Hashem is higher than all the other madrigas. Even though in terms of a person's experience, it might be a more less energetic avodah. It's just simple bittul. But yet, we know that dafka the bittul reaches the highest. And that's the idea that the hay and the malchus is higher than all the other spheres. Fine. So the avodah of offer in kedusha means bittul nullification to God, which is ultimately the deepest connection. Fine. In Klippa, what is Ophar? Ophar in the unholy represents laziness and depression. Depression and laziness is the antithesis to Bittel. In Kedusha, the avoida of Ophar is surrender and total Bittel to the Eibishter. In unholiness, it's falling into a depression, chas v'shalom, into a sadness where there's no life, lifelessness, and laziness. These are the two offers. That's so it says in Sefer Noam HaLimelech, that Tzemach Tzedek brings from the Noam HaLimelech, from the Holy Rebbe HaLimelech, that the klipa of Ephron is laziness and depression and sadness. Now, let's get a little bit of deeper understanding. So what does it mean that Ephraim is holding Ma'aras HaMachpelah? Because what did we learn last week, and what did I discuss at the beginning of the class? That the whole tikkun that needed to be made over here in Ma'aras HaMachpelah is that we have to elevate the name of 52. Now, if you remember, we spoke last week, the name of 52 is, even though it's connected to all the spheroids of Tayu that have fallen, Be'ikr, it's associated to Malchus. Why? Because we know that the name 72 is in Chachma, the name 63 is in Bina, the name 45 is in the Ze'er Anpin, and the name of 52 is in Malchus. Malchus is Shem Ban. So when Malchus falls down as a result of Shviras HaKelim, where does Malchus fall down? Kishachar la'afar nafshenu, dafka la'aretz bitneinu. Where does Malchus fall? Malchus falls down all the way in. Kishachar la'afar nafshenu. Malchus falls down. Malchus falls down dafka into Afar, into earth, into the Afar, the Klipa. Because whenever there's a Zelu Umazel, one is opposite the other. So which means, in simple words, is that we have a power in our soul to be nullified to God and to surrender ourselves and to have a simple bittul. And Chas v'Shalom, when the Klipa comes to counter that, it throws us into depression. And it's an interesting thing, because this week we have the same idea of Ofer and Ofer fighting with each other. When Yaakov is wrestling with the Malach, when the holy Malach of Yaakov is wrestling with the Malach of Esav, it says they're wrestling one with each other, and then he tries to hit him, right? First they're wrestling with their arms. Then it says he hits him in the thigh. But the words the Torah says, Vayavik ish imay. And Chazal say that they were kicking up afar. They were kicking up sand, earth. As they were fighting, they were stamping with their feet so strong on earth. So it says, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, what this in Torah Or, what this really means is that that there is the last and final battle is between the afar, the kedusha, and afar, the klipa. I once discussed this at great length in classes, that you look through the generations, the earlier generations were experiencing life on the higher levels of the soul. And their challenges from the other side was also, for instance, there was a time when the Jewish people were deeply challenged by philosophical, other philosophies, Greek philosophies, and various different types of intellectual kind of things that were in contradiction to Kedusha, to holiness. And then in later generations, the battle became more a deeper battle of emotions and the like. When you get right before Mashiach comes, the battle is between dust and dust. We're talking about the Malchus. The two powers of Malchus are fighting with each other. Malchus the Kedusha against Malchus the Klipa. It's a fight of the dust, of the earth. And which means that today's days people struggle a lot with depression. People struggle a lot with laziness and depression. It's not like we're into the wrong things. It's just that we're not into anything. It's just a heaviness and people are just dead. And we have to know that in that, Chas v'Shalom, when you're encountered with that offer, if you can only turn that around and turn it into offer the Kedusha, which means simple, obedient, doing mitzvahs because God said so at a state of bittul. So what you're doing is you're breaking the offer the Kedusha out from offer the Klipa. And that's what happened over here. Ephron, who is offer of the unholy, is holding the offer of Kedusha captive inside of it. But here's what we need to understand, that the highest sparks of holiness are dafka in the times of depression and dafka in the laziness. Why? Because what is the rule? The higher something is, the lower it falls. And what is the lowest element possible to exist is earth. So in the earth, in the unholy earth, is buried the deepest, deepest sparks. So that's why Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the highest sparks, Ma'aras HaMachpelah, of Heikfela, of the double hay, of the Shem Ban, where was it trapped? In the laziness, in the Ephraim element. And dafka as a result of the bitter of Ephraim, when we take Ephraim himself and we convert, we take the Ma'aras HaMachpelah out of Ephraim, which we know that Avram Avinu did. He took the Chayos out of Ephraim And he turned, because we can see that Ephron lost something, because initially Ephron is spelled with a vav, and then Ephron is without the vav. Vav is the flow of holiness that went into Ephron. When we take the chayos out of him and redeem Ma'aras HaMachpelah from Ephron, so what do we have then? Then we merit the 400 worlds of longing. You see, the entire Tchias HaMesim experience, the experience of the 400 worlds of longing, which is the highest, most intense, powerful revelations of godliness, we cannot merit that unless the rule is Yisrin or Mina Choshech. It's only after we do a complete conversion of light. Light needs to be converted. Darkness has to be converted from light. What's with me? Darkness needs to be converted to light. Yisrin or the extra intense light comes Mina Choshech, comes Dafka from the darkness. So when we can convert the darkest things into Kedusha, that's when you're... So when you can take earth, depression, sadness, laziness, and take that very earth and turn it into Kedusha, so what do you end up getting? The 400... So that's when the 400 coins appear. In the purchase, meaning how do you produce the 400 coins? Simply you learn that Avram Avinu took 400 coins and he got Ma'aras HaMachpelah. But it really is the opposite. Because the Ma'aras HaMachpelah is in the Klipa, Avram would never have shelled out the 400 coins, which means that this great revelation wouldn't have happened only because of the extraction. When we take Ma'aras HaMachpelah, which means we take all the Nitzutzei Kedusha that have fallen into sadness and into depression, and we turn that in, Chas V'Shalom, I'm waking up in a very sad mood, in a very depressed mood, in a lifeless state, and I take that and I can break that Klipa, and instead, do a mitzvah, even if I'm not feeling anything, because I'm not shaykh to feel. I'm not feeling, I'm not in love, I'm not, but I'm doing mitzvahs with Kabbalah's oil, with bittul to the Eibishter. I focus on a bittul and a surrender, so then the klipa falls away, and then we have the bittul, which this bittul of Kedusha of, becomes the keli and the vessel for us to receive the 400 silver, 400 oilamois, almond the chsifin, which can only be revealed after the rectification of Ma'aras HaMachpelah converted from Ephron. That's the Inyan. And that's the meaning that these 400 silver coins we said earlier before are Oiver La Socher. Oiver La Socher means they're above even Socher. Socher is a very high level, like we find in Megillas Esther when it speaks about the king's party. It mentions, and the king is Hashem's party, when Hashem shows all his wealth, it mentions over there, one of the things is Vidar V'Seichares. They were sitting on these fancy marble and stones, and it says Dar V'Seichares. Seichares is a very high level. And this is Oiver, this is even beyond that. But that can only come, what do we say in we say the same thing in Lecha Doidi. We say Hisnaru, shake yourself up, may offer from offer dafka kumi, you get up. See, so it's interesting. There's another interesting nekudah here. We think that Tchias HaMesim, okay, why did there have to be Tchias HaMesim? Because they died. Because there was a curse that they died. And where do you put them when they're dead? They put them in the earth. Now, life has to start again. So they have to get up from the earth. So it comes out, the fact, earth in this element is not a positive thing. It's only a negative thing. They're in the earth. And then, but there's really something much deeper. No, that incredible world of, that's going to be post-Tchias HaMesim, after Tchias HaMesim, can only come from the offer, from the earth. Because Dafka, the offer, holds the key to this, just like we see Bechlal, that earth has the power to bring infinite vegetation. Now the Alter Rebbe says, Dafka the lowest, not Tchilas and Besoif, in the beginning is wedged in the earth. The same is also the experiences of Tchias HaMesim can only be mina offer from the earth. That's one of the reasons the Baal Shem Tov said, that the reason why he can go up to heaven, he doesn't have to go into earth, but he Dafka wants al offer Tashav. Because Dafka in offer and from offer comes the biggest revelations. And that you need to go to Ephron to extract that. And Avram did that extraction from Ephron. Now I just want to explain. So what's the number 400? What does the 400 have to do with this? What does the 400 of worlds of longing have to do with this? There's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that about the letter Tav, which is, we know, 400. The Gemara talks about over there about the importance of rebuking someone. And if you're seeing things being done that are incorrect, you're supposed to speak up, protesting. So the Gemara speaks about the big punishments that Hashem said He's going to do to the people, the sinners in Yerushalayim, because of the sins that were like too much. But so the Gemara says a story like this. The Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina said, "Ma'olam la'yatzas amida toivim epi Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'chazo b'le'ra." Hashem never retracted a good thing and for bad. Bad is retracted for good, but good was never retracted for bad besides one time. Chutz midavar zeh, besides one time. What does it say? It says in the pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem elav." Hashem said to him, "Avor b'toych ha'ir, go across the city b'toych Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim, v'hitavisa tuf, and you should mark a tuf." Al mitzchay sa'anashim, on the forehead of people, hananachim va'ananachim, that are moaning and are crying out, al kolatei evois, because of all the abominations and nasis betecha that are done in the city. Those people that are bothered by the abominations that are done in the city, on those people put mark a tuf on their forehead. So the Gemara explains, amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu leGavriel, who did Hashem speak to? Hashem said to Gavriel, leich v'rashum al mitzchan shel tzadikim, go and a mark on the metzach, on the forehead of tzaddikim, tuf shel diyoi, a tuf of ink. Mark an ink, a black tuf on the heads of tzaddikim. Why? Shlo yishlup lubehem alachei chabala. When the angels of destruction are going to be unleashed on the city, I guess by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and destruction of Jerusalem, the malachim should not be able to come to them because they have a tuf on their forehead. And on the forehead of the wicked, you should also put a tuf. But you should put a tuf of blood, a red tuf. So that the angels of destruction should have control over them. So this is what God says. So the Midas Adin said in front of Hashem, the master of the world, why are these different than these? How come they're getting a blood tough, which is indicating that they should be killed, and the others are getting a black tough. What's your question? These are perfect tzaddikim, and these are perfectly wicked. The master of the world, they could have protested. They didn't protest. They didn't protest. Hashem answers, it is known before me, I know that if they would have protested, it would have been to no avail. So therefore, we can't hold it against the tzaddikim that they didn't protest, because I know that it would have been to no avail. So the Midas Adin, the attribute of justice, said to God, "Well, Rabbi Nishla, the master of the world, im lefanechu galu, you knew that it's not going to help their protest, but the people didn't know, and therefore they should have protested. Mi galu, for them it is known." And that's why in the Entak it says that Hashem removed His protection from the tzaddikim, and that everybody was killed. But first, initially, that wasn't the plan. And here you see that not protesting when you see something bad, it can be so bad that this caused God to change His mind on something good that He did. Fine. Later, the Gemara says, why the tuf? Mashne tuf. Why did He? So again, I'm skipping a bunch of lines in the Gemara. The Gemara says, why dafka tuf? Rav says, because the word tuf has two meanings to it. Tuf tichyeh. Tuf means, is the Rosh HaTevis, it's the first letter of the word Tichya, should live. Tuf, Tamus. And Tuf is also the first letter of the word Tamus, should die. So Tuf means should live and should die. Fine. So what does that mean? There must be a deep meaning, that the letter Tuf is both a letter indicating those that should live or those that should die. So what it really means like this, and this is as follows. We're saying now like this, Misa, the origins of Misa, is in the shattered world of the world of Tayu. The broken world of Tayu is the root of all death. Okay, what's Tchias HaMesim? Tchias HaMesim comes when you rectify the fallen sparks of Tayu. And then you have Tichya.
So death and life are really it's one inyan. That the dying is an introduction. The shviras hakelim v'olam atoyu gives us the ability to elevate them, and when we elevate them, we have tchias hameis. And that's why it's both rooted in the same letter, both the tough. That's what the Gemara means, these to live and these to die, because the Taf contains both of them. It contains the Shviras HaKelim and its rectification. So the Tzemach Tzedek says that he brings from Emek HaMelech, a Kabbalah Sefer, that Olam HaToyu, its root was from the Taf, from the letter Taf of Olam HaMalbush. What that means exactly, I'm not sure. And in Olam HaToyu, they died. Okay, then he brings another Inyan. Fine, so the Taf has to do with the Shviras HaKelim. But now let's continue one more inyan. He brings from the Zohar an interesting idea. That where did the whole death come in this world? I mean, we're saying the root of it is Shviras HaKelim, right, the shattering. But in this world, how did it manifest? Through the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. The Chet of the Eitz Hadas came about through what? Through Chava listening to the snake. The snake comes to Chava. And as the Gemara says, that the snake actually had physical relations with Chava. Whatever that means, if it means so literally, or it means that he imparted of his venom into her, into Chava. And when he put his venom into her, that's what happened. That means that Chava is getting a hashpa from the snake. She's receiving something. He's contaminating Chava, the mother of the entire human race. So the Zohar says an interesting thing. The Zohar says that's hinted to in the letter Taf. Because the letter Taf is a Dalid and a Nun. You take a nun and a dalid and you put them next to each other, you get the letter tav. Dalid, that's the shechina. Shechina is the fourth level, right? Aleph, beis, gimel, right? Aleph is chachma, beis is bina. Gimel is the six emotions are related to the gimel. Chesed, gvur, teferes, they're three. And dalid is the fourth, which is the shechina, which is called the dalid. That's dalid. Nun means a snake. Taninim hagdoilim means big fish, also means snake. Nun is a snake. A long nun also looks like a snake. When you put a nun to the dalet, means that the snake is approaching Chava. That Malchus is getting attacked by the Chitzonim. When this happens, and we know that that's what happens to the Shechina, that the Klippas derive energy from her. And not only that, they can even insert their venom into her. It's a very, very scary idea. It's the idea of, the Zohar brings the idea of a loy toinu. Don't bring the, I know, yeah, this is the I know, this is the, and this is the idea of Nachash having relations with Chava. And this later translates, Eretz Yisrael is Malchus, the land, the Holy Land is Malchus. And the fact that Canaan was conquered Eretz Yisrael, Canaan, that's the snake having a achiza on Eretz Yisrael. That's Canaan. Canaan is full of nuns, actually. And it says they conquered it from the children of Shem. They stole it. But the fact that the Canaanim are now in possession of Eretz Yisrael, that's the snake, the Nachash, having, you see why the whole world, chutzpah, these stupid people from there, from Normandy, the big, what's it called again? I'm sorry, not Normandy. Norway, I meant. Norway. These are already like the deciders of ethics in this world. Why? Everybody, because of the occupied land, the BDS movement, and all of this, this is all the snake trying to hold on to the land, trying to hold on to the Shechina. See, it doesn't make any sense. Without these explanations, it doesn't make any sense because there's so much greater oppression. Quite on the contrary, the Palestinians in Israel live better than in any other country that Arabs live. And yet, Gates and Lebanon, they're occupied land. Why? Because this is the Shairish of the Nekud over here. As long as Ephraim is holding on to Ma'aris HaMachpelah, and Ephraim is Takagamatria 400, as I said earlier. See, he's related to this world of Toyu, to the Shviras HaKelim, and he's holding on to her. That's what happens. Therefore, in order for him to leave go of her, for the snake to leave go of Chava, which translates that the Palestinians vacate and leave the Holy Land, it's all related. And Ephraim leaves go of Sar. He was holding on to it. He doesn't want to let go of it. Avram has to bribe him in a sense, he gives him 400 silver coins. It's the four, because it's related to the tough. And he undoes it by giving four. What does it mean he gives him the coins? He gives him a little bone. That's the idea. When he gave him 400 kruv coins, it doesn't mean he really gave him the level of the 400 worlds. I mean, that's for the tzaddikim. He gave him a little nugget. He threw him something. Because we know that's the whole idea of, we say on Yom Kippur, that we need to give the klipa a little bit of a bone. We throw the sayer la'azazel so that they should be happy that they leave go. So Avram gave him something, so he will leave go of Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, will leave go of her. And that's why the Pasuk says right after that, of a Yakam stay Ephraim, the field was redeemed, it was freed, it had a tremendous aliyah. The Nachash went away, and now we can go to Tchias HaMesim. We find also the idea, this idea that the Klipa holds on to the field, he holds on to Ma'aretz HaMachpelah in the field, we find in a parsha, it talks about a girl being raped. It says she was raped in the field. Also this week's parsha. Shechem, the son of Hamor, rapes Dinah because she went out. So in the field, that's what happened. This is a sada, this is a field. And the klipa goes in chas v'shalom to take hold of her. Now it needs to be, and once he redeemed, once the tuff of klipa let go, the tuff of toyu, of klipa fell off from her, now it was elevated into the 400 worlds of kisufim, of longing. And this is, again, the doorway to Tchias HaMesim. That's all that's taking place over here. Just to connect one more thought, and I'm done. He says the Taf is the last letter, because we still don't explain why the Taf. Because the Taf is the last letter of the Ein Sof. And the Taf is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. So in the Or Ein Sof, in the infinite light, the last dimension of the Or Ein Sof, before the tzimtzum, before the first tzimtzum, that's the tough. And the tough becomes, and we know that the tough, the Orin Tzoy, becomes the keser to Adam Kadmon. Adam Kadmon is already the first revelation after tzimtzum Arishon, is Adam Kadmon, primordial man. But the Adam, man, has a keser, has a crown. That's the Orin Tzoy, but that's the tough from the previous level. And that's why is it tough? Because another reason, it's also shayach to the gematria of tough, because tough is 400. Which 400 is really like 40. And we know that in Keser, crown, the level of Keser is associated with the letter Chaf. Because Esrim is Gematria Keser. The word Esrim is Gematria Keser, 620. Chaf is the first letter in the word Keser. And we know that in Keser there is two Madregas. There is Atik Yomin and Erech Anpin. So the two levels of Keser together are, it's interesting, the two levels, the two layers of Keser, together are 40, 20 and another 20. That's why the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, Shar Ulam, the way the entrance in it was 40 cubits tall, because you're going through the gate is the Keser, that leads you into the Ein Sof. So this is that's why the Tuf, which is the last level, that's the gateway, is 40, it's the Keser to all the Olamis. And it's 40, but 40 times 10, each one is, so that's how you get 400. And that's the root of the 400 worlds of longing that need to be rectified, that need to be rectified. It's interesting. Yom Kippur, we do part of this rectification. And we're touching upon these 400 worlds of longing. And that's why we find an interesting thing, that every time we take from the unholy tough, from the broken, the tough of Tammuz into tough of Tchia, We find this idea that we were touching upon Tchias HaMesim. Hear this. Just have to conclude with this one little tiny thing. The unholy tough, 400, the source of the 400 tamos, also translates into the word sak. Sak is a sack. A klip is called a sack. Vayilbar sak ve'efer. So sak is shin kaf. Shin and Kaf is 300 plus 100 is 400. Now, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol wore the opposite of a sack. K'thayin is bad kodesh, a shirt of bad. Now, the word bad, which means a shirt of pure linen, holy linen, the word bad, hear this word, it's gavaldic. The word bad is the same letters as sack, shin Kaf, in the atbash. Atbash way is when you exchange Aleph for Tav, Beis for Shin, right? So the word Bad, see, is Beis is the second letter of the Aleph Beis, so it exchanges with the Shin, and the Dalet is the fourth letter, and it exchanges with the Kuf because the Kuf is the fourth letter from the back. So Bad, Ksoines Bad, because since Yom Kippur is all about Tshuva, and it's all about elevating that which is in the other side, taking from the elements of death. Throughout the year, we have moments of death. Every time we disconnect from the Eibishter, we have a Shviras HaKelim. Every time we're Chas V'Shalom tapping into that death tough, every time we're falling into the depression of Ephron and the sadness and the laziness, all these things are moments of death, but in there are deep sparks of holiness. When we can take that sak and convert it through the Atbash process, we turn it into Ksoines Bad, and that's the shirt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And that's the idea. And that's why it's also made out of linen. Because Pishtan linen is related to Gevura, to the side of Gevura, to the kings of Edom. Gevura are the kings of Edom. It's all about that broken world of Esav that needs to be fixed. That's why Cain, who's also from the broken world of Toyu, Cain was also brought his karbam from Pishtan, from flax. And I said he's all related, all together. And Esav has 400 men. It's all related to that broken tuf. And that needs to be elevated. And when it becomes Bad Kodesh, when the Dalet goes into the Kash, it becomes Bad Kodesh, which is a world of Achdos, a world of Iskalalus. And that's how we fix it all and we merit the 400 worlds of longing. This is the Inyan. So Chas V'Shalom, don't ever let depression get you. And don't ever let sadness or laziness to be constantly invigorated, alive, full of life, full of energy. And through that, we complete that final battle of Yaakov and the minister of Esav as they kick up the dust. And we, from this Isnaru, may offer from the earth, we come to the Tuf Shel Tchiyah, of Tchiyas HaMesim, the infinite 400 worlds of longing, with the Yizgalus of the Orin Soif, that's also hinted in the Tuf, the two, the Chaf and the Chaf, which brings us into that total immersion and one with the Eibishter himself. This is all part of the secrets. There's another Inyan over here, but we don't have time to talk about that. Be'ezus Hashem, we might talk about it next week, or we will continue. Okay, Zayga benched everyone. A good week. Hope I'll see everybody on Sunday by the big celebration. Be'ezus Hashem on Sunday at the Nessa Center, 8:00. We'll celebrate. Zayga benched. A geula de geweek. Minutes. I jam a lot into this. A lot is jammed into this. You know why? Because once you start doing Tzemach Tzedek's Ora Torah, and whatever.